The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
For eternal salvation, do we believe in Jesus or into Jesus? What is the difference, if any, between the two? That is where our discussion today will take us, and you've tuned to Grace in Focus, and we're glad you're here. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society when you go to our website, faithalone.org. There you can find many articles that we've written and find out how to subscribe to our daily blogs. And you'll find many other things at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
This question's from Sharon. She said that she asked a question about John 3:16 to another podcast, and this was the response that he gave her, and she wanted your feedback on it because his response was kind of confusing.
All right.
So the general question is, should John 3:16 be translated believe in or believe into based on the Greek word ace? And so the person that she asked, his response was it has to be translated into.
And why did he think that was important? Was he saying believing into was different than simply believing some promise he made? Was he trying to say it's got some sort of commitment or some kind of submission or something?
Yeah, direct quote from him is, a person can believe in Jesus but still not surrender their life to him. Their belief will not save them. They must experience a spiritual birth. And then he says, when I read verses that say believe in Jesus, especially John 3:16, I already know that in the original text it says believe into, not believe in. So to him, believe into is stronger, and it's more than just believing. It's about surrendering and trusting in Christ, not just believing. To him, just believing is not enough to save you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, funny in a sad way, that people will take a clear scripture like John 3:16 or a passage like John 3:14 to 16 that clearly says that the sole condition of everlasting life is believing in Jesus, or if you want to translate it into Jesus, either way, and they somehow convert that into commitment, surrender, yieldedness, turning from sins, etc. The problem with that is, and there's many, first of all, the Greek does not sustain that. To believe in with ace is not somehow suggesting commitment or surrender or obedience. And we know this for many reasons. For one thing, he's simply talking about faith. He's not talking about works. It says nothing about behaving in him or behaving into him. And besides, in English, have you ever heard someone say something like, do you believe into Joe Biden?
No.
Do you believe into Donald Trump?
No.
Do you believe into the United States?
Yeah, it's just a misuse. Even if it appears that way in Greek, it's not the way we speak. And over the whole Bible, that Greek word ace is used like 1,800 times. And it's primarily translated into, but it's still translated in a lot of other ways, because just like in English, we can use a preposition in 6 or 7, 10 different ways, but it doesn't necessarily change the word.
Exactly. And Greek prepositions are notoriously flexible. You just took the class that I was teaching on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and we saw it a lot. You'd see that a given preposition in a given passage might have multiple different translations, and you'd have to decide which one was the best. But another way we know it's not some sort of commitment or surrender is because in John's gospel, to believe in Jesus is the same as to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Look at John 11:25 to 27. Jesus says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that, pistuo hati, you are the Christ, the Son of God. There's no way you can say when Jesus asked her, do you believe this? He's asking something about her quiet time or her prayer life or her surrender or obedience. All he's asking is, are you convinced this is true? And he had just used pistuo ace twice. The one who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Well, he's basically saying you're not believing into this. You're simply persuaded or you're not persuaded. The same thing is true. Look in Paul's epistles. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, where's into there? Bill Fies, who's a good friend of mine, and he teaches our Logos class, he likes to translate into also. But not because he thinks that into suggests surrender or commitment, because he thinks into is slightly odd in English, and it emphasizes the fact that he is the destination, he's the location of our faith. So we're placing our faith into Christ. He's the source of the everlasting life, and he's the destination of our faith. I think it's just grasping at straws to try to say that somehow the preposition here suggests surrender.
Because even in English, you can use in and into pretty interchangeably a lot of times. Like, you can go in someone's house, or you can go into their house.
Right.
It doesn't mean if you go into, you're making a commitment to stay. It's just a preposition. The important part is the verb and the noun that are attached to it.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And then later in this email, he brings up John 3:36, which says, he who believes in the Son or into the Son has everlasting life. But then for some reason, he interprets that as he who believes on the Son has everlasting life. So that is even more confusing to me, why that's the one that he would, then it doesn't have to be into. But even then, believing on the Son, I would still, in, on, into, I think all would mean the same thing. There's not different levels of belief.
Whether we translate in, into, on, you're right. The key elements are believing and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what we believe Jesus for, which is everlasting life. So in John 3:14, 15, 16, we have believing Jesus, everlasting life. John 3:36, believing Jesus, everlasting life. You see it all through John's gospel.
This way of translating it is just kind of a way to justify the make Jesus Lord of your life or surrender to him to have salvation. Because, I mean, he says that right out. A lot of people don't. But he says it right out. Belief is not enough to save you. You have to surrender. You have to experience a spiritual birth from above, which that's also...
Well, it is true that Jesus refers to being born from above and born again, but that doesn't tell us how that occurs.
Right.
He tells us how that occurs in John 3:16, by believing in him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're believing in him for something specific, that we will not perish, but we have everlasting life. So, yeah, I think this is another example of people who are not comfortable with the teachings of Jesus, and so they manipulate the teachings of Jesus to make them consistent with what they think should be true. In other words, they don't think that uncommitted people should be able to go to heaven when they die. They don't think that uncommitted people should be able to be in Jesus' kingdom forever. They think you've got to turn from your sins, commit your life, surrender to him. And I would assume this person probably argues you've got to persevere to the end of your life, either to prove you're genuinely saved or to stay saved or to win final salvation, however you do it. I think you have one other question. I don't know if we can get it in the last 2.5 minutes, but did you have a question from someone else?
Yeah, this one's pretty, the question is simple. It's just, do I have to believe in the Trinity to be saved?
All right, and who's that from?
This is from Jan.
Okay, so Jan, do we have to believe in the Trinity to be saved? And I think Jan also asked about the deity of Christ, right?
Yeah, do I have to believe that Jesus is Yahweh to be saved?
Yeah, is Yahweh, which is even stronger because... Mm-hmm. Yahweh in the Old Testament, many people think that refers to God the Father. But there are verses in the New Testament that are quoting Old Testament texts that use Yahweh and say that's referring to the second member of the Trinity, Jesus. No, we know that people don't have to believe in the deity of Christ or the Trinity to be born again because of the apostles. Mm-hmm. The apostles were born again, some of them in John chapter 1, the end of John 1, Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel and others, and then some in John 2:11, and they were born again early in his ministry. Yet they did not believe in the Trinity, and they did not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. Remember when he's in the boat, I think it's Matthew 8:26, and they wake him up so that it'll help bail water, right? And instead of bailing water, he just stills the storm, stops the waves, stops the wind, and they're like, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, they know from the Old Testament that God controls the wind and the rain, so they don't believe this is God in the boat with them. If you look at Matthew 16, Peter didn't believe Jesus was going to die. Neither did any of the apostles. They thought he was going to rule and reign right away. And after he died, they didn't believe he rose from the dead until they saw him, right? Mm-hmm. And then even Thomas, even with the reports of the other apostles, unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. But when he does, he then says, my Lord and my God, John 20:28. Now, of course, on this side of the cross, I would say a huge percentage of people believe in the Trinity before they believe in the free gift of eternal life that Jesus offers, and they believe in the deity of Christ. But if you're going to say that's a condition, I'd say no. Most people would be there, but I'm not sure about children. Do children grasp the Trinity? Do children grasp the deity of Christ? Maybe some children do, but if they believe in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life, then they're born again, even if they don't have all of their understanding of the deity of Christ and the Trinity nailed down.
Mm-hmm. Someone in one of my seminary classes said, it might have been Steve Elkins, but he said if we have to, well, it was about believing and understanding, do you believe in the Trinity is one question, then do you have to understand the Trinity? He said, if you have to understand the Trinity, then none of us are saved because no one really understands it.
See, that's another point. I believe it. I get it in the sense there are three persons and one being. But since I'm one being and one person, that's outside of my experience. Mm-hmm. So I accept it, but I don't fully grasp it. And I'm sure that we can grow in our understanding of that when we are with the Lord and in eternity. But I'm not sure we'll ever 100% get it. Maybe we will. Well, thank you, Jan, and thank you, Sharon, for your questions. They're both great. And remember, let's keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, does Acts 10:43 support regeneration by faith alone? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.